News. I'm Bob Levicky. You might expect that all the rain we've gotten would end the drought, and you'd be right. As food insecurity intensifies in our region, Rockingham County Schools expands free lunch at two more schools. And we continue our investigation into mismanagement and corruption at the Office of EMS and how it affects local departments. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, October 4th. The deluge of rain in the past 10 days has effectively ended drought conditions in our area. In August, western and central Virginia were in a drought, with much of the Shenandoah Valley under extreme drought conditions. Since the rain, the U.S. Drought Monitor for Virginia shows that drought alerts have been lifted. In Charlottesville, the Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority officially lifted a drought watch for Albemarle County and Charlottesville this week. As Southwest Virginia begins to move from response to recovery mode in the wake of Helene, some legislators are already looking ahead to future storms and future costs. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner spoke with some of them.
We still don't know how costly Helene will be. Long-term repairs will be time-consuming and expensive. And at least one Virginia legislator thinks now is as good a time as any to blame the storm on climate change and adjust state policy to reflect future climate-related issues.
We could do a lot more to prevent these types of disasters if we invested money in advance to help these communities prepare for the coming effects of climate change.
That's Senate Majority Leader Scott Surville of Fairfax County. He said programs like the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, or REGI, were an option to help buttress the state from future natural disasters. Virginia received about $830 million from the Multi-State Compact before Governor Glenn Youngkin pulled the state out. Much of that has been spent or is reserved for resiliency projects and green energy improvements that stretch from Norfolk to Tazewell. At about $4 on every household electricity bill, the governor called it an unfair tax. Lynchburg Senator Mark Peek agrees. He also doubts the impact of a warming climate.
We've had floods for a long, long time, going back to the beginning of time and Noah and his ark.
But Democrats have the majority in both chambers. And if there's a financial need in Southwest, Charlottesville Senator Cree Deeds said everything is on the table, including a return to REGI as negotiations unfold.
We need to discuss things, but REGI just gives us more flexibility and also helps us prepare for the future.
In a statement, Governor Glenn Youngkin told Radio IQ he remains committed to lowering the cost of living for Virginians, including tapping into the state's over $100 million Community Flood Preparedness Fund. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
The Community Engagement Provision Program is expanding in Rockingham County, so two more public schools can offer free breakfast and lunch to students. WHSV reports that Linville Edom Elementary and J. Frank Hilliard Middle now qualify for the federal program. With those additions, 14 schools in the division will now offer free meals. As a result of rising food insecurity in the region, 47% of Rockingham students qualify for free meals. Ports along the East Coast are reopening after it appears the striking Dock Workers Union has reached a tentative deal with owners and carriers. WHRO's Ryan Murphy reports.
Port employees represented by the International Longshoremen's Association will return to work under a 15-week extension of its most recent contract, which expired October 1st. That will give the union time to hash out the details of a new contract. The Wall Street Journal reports it will include a 62% raise for workers over 6 years. That new contract will ultimately have to be ratified by dock workers from Maine to Texas, who had been on strike since Tuesday morning.
Ryan Murphy reporting. In the latest blow to Virginia's emergency medical services providers, the state has announced they will no longer provide an essential software system to local agencies. That news comes alongside more details about the state's investigation into mismanagement and corruption. At the Office of EMS, WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports in the second of a two-part series.
WMRA reported yesterday on the software system that local EMS agencies use to record information about their calls, their patients, and the care they provide. The Virginia Office of EMS used to offer one of those programs for free, but announced last month that they would be ending the service next summer. The cut follows the state's investigation into $33 million that were misspent by previous agency leaders. Besides the $4 million that Associate Director Adam Lamar Harrell embezzled, there's another $29 million in, quote, discrepancies.
The rest of that is not necessarily for something that we think was sent through his fraudulent company, but as you said, it was misspent.
Christopher Lindsay is the Chief Operating Officer of the Virginia Department of Health. He's also an advanced life support provider with the Tuckahoe Volunteer Rescue Squad in Henrico County.
There's $2.3 million taken out of the trauma fund. There were several million dollars that were taken out of the Rescue Squad Assistance Fund. Much of that money was intended for other code-mandated purposes that was taken and shifted to pay for the EMS symposium. So unfortunately, we had to make the decision to cancel the EMS symposium for the last 2 years.
He noted that the cost of the symposium grew to about $1.7 million in 2022.
What was that money spent on besides the symposium?
So many different things. And so, $4+ million of that went back to the former associate director. Some of the other funds, in fact, a lot of the other funds went towards projects such as the PCR project.
That's PCR, patient care reporting, aka the patient care information system that's being eliminated. Within OEMS, Associate Director Harrell and others referred to this as the data project. According to the audit report, it cost a total of $22 million over the last 2.5 years. Here's what we know about how the data project played out. In 2021, OEMS signed a contract with a new vendor for this software, ESO Solutions. Since then, OEMS has paid them $13 million to provide this system for the state and about half of the local agencies in Virginia. A footnote in the report says, quote, "The ESO contract was entered into with no clear understanding of the final cost. The range for total cost depended on the number of agencies that chose to join the contract." Lindsay said OEMS is paying this company another $3.1 million to provide the software through next summer.
Now, I just want to go ahead and say right up front, ESO's leadership team has worked with us throughout this process, and we have no reason to believe that they were doing anything outside of what they were asked to do by the Office of EMS in the past.
It's a noteworthy defense of the company, because the data project that included the ESO contract was also the vehicle that Harrell used to pay himself most of that $4 million. Before Harrell negotiated the multi-million dollar contract with ESO Solutions, the state provided a patient care information system from a different company.
I do know that ImageTrend is a company that many Virginia providers use, but I can't speak exactly to what the relationship was.
The industry website EMS1.com reported in 2009 that the Virginia Office of EMS had awarded ImageTrend with the contract for a reporting program that would be provided to local agencies at no cost. But how much was the state paying for this software compared to the new one? A renewal contract from 2020 says it was $104,000, about 1/30th the amount the state will pay to ESO this fiscal year. I asked the VDH why ESO software would cost millions per year when ImageTrend's product was so much less. Their public relations coordinator told me in an email that wasn't a complete picture of the cost 4 years ago. OEMS only paid for the base version of ImageTrend's software. EMS agencies could choose to pay extra for add-on features. Because of that, quote, "the true cost of the service was much more," end quote, but they don't know how much in total. She said there were also fewer agencies using the state-provided option than there are today. For local EMS navigating this loss, there is some help on the horizon. Lindsay said OEMS will be offering grants for affected agencies to purchase another year of service, giving them until 2026 to get their own patient care information system. That was welcome news to Kim Craig, executive director of the Stanton Augusta Rescue Squad.
It's a promising thing, at least for a year, and I think what it also shows is that the Office of EMS is trying to really work with the agencies now and trying to help them as much as they can. One of the scourging factors that we run into as an agency, and I think other agencies as well, is we really don't know the cost.
Uncertainty is a cloud hanging over many first responders' heads, as Harrisonburg Fire Chief Matthew Tobia explains.
Unfunded mandates are being handed down that are having a really detrimental effect on EMS agencies' ability to provide essential services. How does it impact the mental health and well-being of the emergency responders who are trying to provide care?
OEMS is currently searching for a new director to help lead the agency back to functionality. The Department of Health will begin interviewing candidates later this month. For WMRE News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You can find much more information in this two-part series posted at WMRA.org and on the app. And full disclosure, VDH underwrites programming on WMRA, but we cover them the same we would any other story. A jury has found a former Central State Hospital employee accused in Ivo Otieno's death not guilty of involuntary manslaughter. Wavy Jones was among the people indicted in the death of Otieno, who was in police custody when he died of asphyxiation last year. The medical examiner ruled Otieno's death a homicide. The 28-year-old man's family reached an $8.5 million settlement with Henrico County and the state last fall. Students, lawmakers, and free speech activists question if updated university policies that regulate student demonstrations violate First Amendment rights. Capital News Service reports that the new rules ban encampments, require masked individuals to show identification if asked, limit where students can hold events, and implement stricter rules on chalking, a popular form of peaceful protest. After campus protests that led to some clashes with police, institutions such as James Madison University, the University of Virginia, Virginia Commonwealth University, and Virginia Tech adopted similar policies. College students across Virginia have protested in response to the Israel-Hamas war through marches and gatherings in solidarity with Palestine. The movement peaked before the end of spring semester with 125 students arrested, including 11 at UVA. The effort to legalize skill games might be in trouble even if some of the machines are up and operating across the state. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the latest.
Queen of Virginia is the name of a game that looks similar to a slot machine that can be found at convenience stores across Virginia. Some of them were recently modified so they no longer accept cash, although even those machines are illegal, according to a memo from Attorney General Jason Meares. Governor Glenn Youngkin says reaching a deal to legalize them has become a tall mountain to climb. Rena Hicks is executive director for the nonpartisan advocacy group Freedom Virginia.
This is taking up way too much time and air out of the rooms and taking away from focuses on real things that Virginians need. And we really view these as a regressive tax scheme. They shouldn't be in Virginia, and they really just prey on hardworking people.
The Attorney General's memo may have declared skill games to be illegal, but that doesn't mean prosecutors will necessarily take action. Here's Henrico Commonwealth's Attorney Shannon Taylor.
I can say as of this date, there has been no case, to my knowledge, that has been presented to my office regarding any of these machines. And instead, we have various entities who are taking definitive positions without any guidance from the General Assembly or a court.
A spokeswoman for Pace-O-Matic says the company looks forward to defending the legality of the games in court and ultimately working toward a legislative solution. I'm Michael Pope.
And finally today, after weeks of build-up, the candidates for U.S. Senate finally took the debate stage. Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, joins Michael to recap the week in politics and state government.
All right, a lot to get to this week, starting with the televised debate for, this is in the election for United States Senate, where we've got Republican Hung Cao challenging incumbent Senator Tim Kaine. Jeff Shapiro, I noticed in that debate, almost every question that was asked of Hung Cao, he pivoted to immigration. You asked him about guns, he started talking about immigration. You asked him about housing or childcare or even the dock workers strike. He answered those questions by talking about immigration. Is that going to work?
I would not think it's going to work. You know, a lot of ground was covered in that first and only Senate debate. Questions about the economy, about abortion, about education. And as you correctly point out, Hung Cao kept veering back to immigration or illegal aliens, as he chose to call them. It was a clear contrast. We had an experienced, familiar, knowledgeable figure in Tim Kaine. An inexperienced, unfamiliar, not terribly knowledgeable figure in Hung Cao. And no wonder the polls show this race as lopsided as it is.
And the latest poll from Virginia Commonwealth University shows that the Harris campaign might be slipping a little bit in Virginia. Jeff Shapiro, are Democrats worried?
I don't think the Democrats are worried. This VCU poll shows some narrowing as Election Day approaches. What I think is really important is what's going on at that coastal district, that coastal Virginia district, the second congressional district where there is a potentially competitive congressional campaign. It seems if the Harris ticket can win that district, we could be seeing a Harris win in Virginia that equals, maybe even exceeds, Joe Biden's 10 percentage point win here in 20.
And then one more topic before we go. The civil war inside the Republican Party in the 5th Congressional District, where voters dumped incumbent Congressman Bob Good in favor of challenger John McGuire. Jeff Shapiro, what's the latest there?
This is Republican cannibalism at its best or worst, depending on one's perspective. Here we have Republicans essentially leaving the party because they refused to support McGuire for Congress in the general election in November. Bob Good, of course, having lost that primary, has indicated that he will be challenging McGuire in 2 years for the nomination. So civil war is spot on.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Talk to you next week.
Have a good weekend.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Friday.